y'all. Welcome to Beautifully Healthy. I am Dr. Allison Key, and I'm joined today by my esteemed colleague, Erica Smith.
Hello.
PA extraordinaire.
As she's holding this microphone like she's about to jam out to some karaoke.
Oh, yeah. Y'all never know when I might start singing, and everybody will turn it off. Like, oh, my gosh. My ears are bleeding. They're bleeding. So we have been recording podcasts for about 6 months now.
It's crazy to think about, but yeah.
It's gone by so fast.
We've had some crazy topics, fun topics.
It has been fun. Some heavy topics. Yes. We've covered some heavy things.
Past couple of weeks have been real heavy, I think.
And we'd love to hear from you guys what you want to hear about, too.
Absolutely.
No holds barred on this podcast.
We are very open.
No questions off limits. Mm-mm. Which brings us to our guest today, the man behind the scenes who has been producing these podcasts for us for the past 6 months, Seth Kane.
Hi, everybody.
You just heard me say it. There are no holds barred.
Yeah, there are no holds barred. I know a lot of the topics we have discussed, some I have just had to put my head in my shirt and just cover my face. The one specifically, I remember the Valentine's Day episode, which I know both of y'all saw me, and I was trying to cover my mouth because I immediately went from being 28 to
episode.
12 in a matter of 2.5 seconds. So, yeah.
Vagina is not a bad word,
Seth. No, it's not a bad word. It's just like...
I think your exact words after that episode were, no, it's fine. It's fine. I love vaginas. I just, you know. Well,
I didn't go that far now.
But, well, maybe I misquoted you. Sorry.
Let's see. We'll edit that part out. So.
No editing.
Oh, my gosh. So, but yeah, but it's been a fun 6 months, and I've learned a lot.
More than you ever wanted to know.
Probably more than I have ever wanted to know in my entire life, especially about the female anatomy, too. But I digress. But anyway, but it's been a lot of fun here over the last 6 months.
Well, we appreciate you. We are technologically ignorant. Like, I would have no idea how to do this. Mm-hmm. So we're glad you've been
here.
There's
a lot of equipment in here.
there's a lot of stuff. Yeah, there's quite a bit in here. So, but
I'm excited. We're talking today about making our own real studio.
Yeah, we did get discussing about that. I was looking down at one of the rooms that you wanted me to look at downstairs, and it's quite doable. And
yay.
Especially here at this Carrollton location.
It's getting real.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. So you can do a whole lot in there. So, but I do got a friend that's kind of in the business that can do soundproofing and stuff
hook
like that.
Us up.
So hook you up with that. Hopefully here pretty soon. And we'll get that going.
Speaking of the business, how did you get into this kind of stuff? Your career history?
I've been in the radio business since 2006. I remember the day. It was July 7th, 2006.
Has anyone ever told you had a face for radio?
You know, if I had a dollar for every time somebody told me that, I would probably at least be living in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
No, you're so handsome.
Thank you.
July 2006.
Yeah, July 2006. I was 15 years old, and I've wanted to be in radio since I was about 5 or 6 years old. Hmm. And it all got started when I was listening to a high school football game. It's like 96, 97. I was about 5 or 6 years old. And I was like, that's what I want to do. You know, I want to be on the radio. I want to do, you know, broadcast sports. I want to be a DJ on the radio. I want to do all that. So, you know, if you'd have told me like 10, 11 years from that point in time in life that I was going to get my career in radio started at 15 years old, I would have said you were crazy. Even at 5 and 6 years old, I'm like, no, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. So a guy I went to church with, Lowell White, who he had been in radio, worked here in the Carrollton area for a long time at the old WLBB AM 1100 back in the 60s. He was the voice of the Carrollton Trojans for a long time. So he knew I wanted to get into radio. And so he called me up one day and we discussed it. And he said, look, let me get you the number for Steve Graddick, who is the owner of Graddick Communications here in Carrollton. And he also, which is also the parent company for WKNG in Tallapoosa. And he said, let me get you his number, contact him and see what he says. So exactly that's what I did. I contacted Steve and he said, well, I'm a little bit busy right now, but get back with me in a couple of weeks. And I said, okay. 2 weeks went by, called him back again. And he said, well, come in and record something and then I'll take a listen to it and I'll get back to you, you know, as soon as I can. I said, yeah, that sounds great. So went in, recorded a spot. I remember it was for one of the local pharmacies in Bremen. And about a couple of weeks later, he called me up and said, well, I can't offer you a job right now, but I can offer you an internship. I said, okay. So July 7th of 06, I walked in the door up there a little after 3 o'clock, got started.
15 years old. So was your voice changing at that time?
You know,
have you always had this deep voice?
To my knowledge, I have, because everybody, I would not ever talk that much in school because everybody was always like, well, you just got such a deep voice. You sound like an old man and stuff like that. And, you know, at 15 and 16 years old, you don't want to hear that.
Right.
You know, you don't want to hear that. So I just kind of stayed quiet most of the time. And the only time I ever opened up my mouth is when I was doing public address announcing at school, or I was having to host the pep rallies and stuff like that. That's basically the only time you really ever heard me talk. Other than that, I stayed quiet most of the time.
So people had already sort of recognized your linguistic abilities, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I guess you could say
if you were doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, doing that sort of thing. But yeah, it was just one of those things. I just really didn't talk a whole lot. And people says, yeah, you just got like a really deep voice and, you know, a voice for radio. And I hear that all the time. And I always take that as a compliment. And, you know, and I always just, you know, respond to, well, it's what God gave me. And so I'm just using what he gave me in a sense. So, but yeah, that's basically how I got started. And if you want to name a shift that I have done in radio, there's a good chance I have done it, with the exception of working all night. That's probably about the only one, because you don't see overnight disc jockeys anymore unless it's talk radio. Or you've got the rare radio stations that do like all night shows for truck drivers and things of that nature. But other than that, I have done morning shows. I've done midday shifts. I've done afternoons. I've done late evenings. I've done sports. I've done news. Just as a matter of fact, I know this is going to be a few weeks out when everybody hears this. But just recently covered the elections here in the West Georgia area for the June 9th primaries. So I've done a little bit of everything that you can possibly imagine. The only thing I've never done is been an engineer. That is something I've never done, because it's just, I look at a transmitter or I look at some of the other technology that we have, and it's just like, yeah, I'm not touching that.
It's a lot of buttons.
It's a lot of buttons. It's a lot of wires. And I just keep looking at it and I'm like, no, I cross one wire and boom. The place would blow up. So it's just, no, I'm not going to go in that direction at doing that. But it's been going on 14 years, and I'm 29 now, and it's just, I've loved it.
That's awesome.
Loved every bit of it.
It is awesome. It is awesome. You know something ironic?
Your career path early in life.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was one of those things, and I did question myself for about a year when I first got started if it's something that I really wanted to do, because I was petrified to tell people where I worked. I was absolutely petrified for the simple reason I didn't want people to think that I had a big head, that I was conceited, and that, yeah. Oh, well, you know, you're on the radio. You know, and I didn't want that. So I spent about a year just kind of scared to tell people where I worked for a long time.
Just low key.
Yeah, I was just very low key about it, because, I mean, to me, yeah, it's something I love to do. I mean, it's something I've been very passionate about since a very young age, but it's just, I've met people over the course of my life who have been in radio a long time, and some of them have just had extremely big heads. I just didn't want to get that way.
Like who?
I'm not going
I'm
that
kidding.
Far.
Do it.
I will say that I met a couple when I did my internship somewhere in Alabama. I'll just put it to you that way.
Throw the shade, pour the tea.
Yeah. But no, I'm not going to dive in. even though I doubt they'll be listening to this podcast. But yeah, I was afraid there for about a year just to tell people where I worked. Just because I didn't want them to think that they're like, oh, well, you're a big shot, you're a big star. And I'm like, no, I'm just a regular guy who has a really cool job. That's just the way I saw it as. So
what I was going to say is what's ironic is my first job was as the afternoon DJ at 1440 AM.
Oh, in Bremen?
Yeah, WGMI.
Yeah.
Your Southern Gospel and Christian Country leader.
Exactly.
That's when I was 15, and I did that for a few months, but... We won't get into that.
Oh, well, yeah. It's, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that say, when we get started in radio.
Both of y'all perfectly. Both of y'all are amazing at just talking.
Some people would call it bullshitting, but.
Essentially, yeah. It's
the gift of gab.
It's just like, people always ask me, how can you.
It's so eloquent when you do it. I mean, it sounds like you've practiced this 800 times and you've already done this.
Well, the thing is, I tell people all the time, because I always get made fun of, because if people catch me talking to myself. Because I do that a lot. I'll admit it. I do. And they're like, why are you talking to yourself all the time? You know, that's one of the first signs you're going crazy. I was like, well, A, I'm in radio. So that's kind of a given. And B, I was like, I just make it up. I'm like, well, I'm practicing. And essentially I am.
Yeah.
Essentially I am, because sometimes when I'm doing my show in the mornings, it's still early. You know, the caffeine is not kicked in. If I've had any coffee or pre-workout or whatever, I'm just pulling stuff out of my head, and sometimes I don't know where I'm going with it. So, and which I know I got to be careful, but.
We should let Cole go on with you one morning.
Yeah. There is no telling.
My four-year-old.
There is no telling.
Can literally talk about anything at any time with anybody.
Oh, he most definitely
he
can.
He kind of wakes up and goes to sleep talking, doesn't he?
Yes. What did David call him? Mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mouth. It's like I was talking to a friend of mine. He's been a longtime sports broadcaster. He was talking about his daughter one time. I think it was his youngest daughter who she would wake up talking and she would go to bed talking.
Absolutely.
And I turned and looked at him and I said, wonder where she gets that from. He was like, yeah. So,
yeah, but I mean, it's just Ryan nor I are.
Yeah, y'all don't talk that much.
Not that much.
Somebody has to in that house. Mm-mm. So Cole does it.
Yeah, or Cole unless talks for everybody.
Or unless it's somebody on either your side or some of Ryan's.
My dad can talk to everybody.
So that's probably where he gets it from. Just kind of skipped you and went to him. So
when it comes to like speaking and stuff, I don't get nervous unless I prepare. If I prepare, that's when I start getting nervous. Yeah. If you just let me get up there and talk, it's fine. But if I write notes and put things down, that's when I get nervous, which seems so crazy.
And see,
I
did
so
the same
opposite
thing. I do the same thing when I do my show prep for the morning show and the morning guy on Kiss 102.7 here in Carrollton. I get more nervous when I'm having to look at something and I am, making a little short note, so I'm not reading everything verbatim. And I was like, how am I going to word this without, stumbling over my words, which I do it anyway, or just getting really extremely nervous about it. And so I just kind of look at it, skim over it. Like it's something I read 2 weeks ago in the past, like something common knowledge. I already know it. And that's how I have to psych myself up just to go in and start talking.
I will say, being around you more, I am more open to videos and podcasts and everything else.
Just let it roll.
Yeah, just let it roll. And
it's much easier now than it was 6 months ago.
Right. And so, and I always tell people, especially when we have guests come here on the podcast, they see this microphone.
It's intimidating.
And they freeze.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, two things. One, the only people that are listening to you right at this very moment are the people that are in this room. You're having a conversation with your friends here.
But it's still, I think, the fact that
so many other people are going to start listening.
Yeah. Fumble through your words or mess up or say something wrong, which somebody's going to make fun of you for.
Right. And so people just kind of get psyched. They're just like, oh, I'm so nervous about it. I'm like, just don't be nervous. Calm yourself down. Talk like you're talking to a friend if you're talking by yourself. Because that's what I have to do to get myself just kind of calm down. Put somebody in the forefront of your mind and talk to them. Don't talk at them. Talk to them.
Yeah.
You were having a conversation with a friend. If like you were just to get here on by yourself.
Right.
You're talking to your husband. You're talking to your mom. You're talking to Erica. If she's not in the room, just put somebody right there in the forefront of your mind. Talk to them.
Well, you want it to be very genuine
and organic,
and from your heart and who you are and not, I always feel like when you watch TV, when you're watching reality TV, you can almost tell what's scripted and what's real. And you watch commercials and you can almost see them like an automaton,
because it's just like they're either scared or they were trained in a certain way to act that way.
It's very stiff.
And it's very not, it's not natural. It's not natural. That's why I'm not a big fan of doing like real scripted type shows and stuff like that, because
we definitely don't script this.
Oh,
business.
No.
Never know what you're gonna get,
because usually when
you wait till that next session of what sex therapy comes
yes. on. Yes, oh, I can't wait. I am going to...
Well, when she said sex therapy, I'm like, oh, gonna be good. I'm just gonna sit back and let this one roll.
Here we go.
So yeah,
I can't wait. I feel like we need video for that one.
Yeah, we'll get our room set up down there.
Please don't put it on me. Golly.
Settle.
Oh my God.
With his shirt over his head most of the time.
Yeah, that will be like viral on YouTube.
Be awesome.
Absolutely viral on YouTube. So yeah.
So good. Such good, interesting, fascinating information.
Golly. Yes.
But yes. So, but yeah, I've been doing it for 14 years and it's just been a labor of love. I've loved every bit of it.
What is your favorite thing to do broadcast wise? Is it sports still?
Still sports. I still get the adrenaline rush of when I'm calling a high school football game, when I'm doing baseball, even doing basketball. I've done do a lot of high school football here in the West Georgia area. Been doing that since 2008. And recently here with Graddock Communications, we just added in a fourth football crew, which I headed up on our classic country station, WKNG King Country, FM 93.7.
And you guys do a great job, too.
Well, yes. We appreciate it. It's something we enjoy doing.
It's fun to listen to the games. You do a good job. Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate that. It's something we enjoy doing. And so I've been doing that since about 2008, covering high school football. Been the studio anchor for West Georgia football since the 2011 season. So I'll be coming up on my 10th season, I think.
Sweet.
This upcoming fall, coming September. I'll be doing that. So, yeah, I still get the thrill.
Do you have your own iconic tagline?
Not really.
We need to come up with you one.
Not really. I let it come naturally when it comes to that. It's just whatever just pops out at any given moment. Which
you do have a signature voice. So like if I'm scanning through the radios, I know
when it's Seth.
When it's you.
Yeah, everybody says that. They're like, we can always tell it's you.
Yeah, you can.
And so, again, like I said earlier, it's just.
I knew your voice before I met you.
See, and that scares me.
Uh-huh.
Because I have so many people. It's like last night when we were doing elections back on June 9th, I had somebody walk past our table that we had set up in the lobby of the courthouse in Buckhannon. She looked at me and she's like, you're Seth in the morning? And I said, well, it's Raising Cain in the morning, the name of the show. But yeah, I'm him. And she's like, oh, okay. I recognize your voice. I can recognize it offhand. And I always do this just to get a reaction out of people. I say, well, you know, sorry, I'm not better looking. And they're like, no. Just to get their reactions. But yeah, I've had people come up and they're like, yeah, I knew your voice before I even met you. And I'm like, that's scary, but okay.
You have to be careful what you say.
Yeah, I know, right. So, but yeah, I've had several people just come up to me and say that. And some who have known my parents or they've known somebody in my family. And they're like, yeah, we knew your voice before we even met you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, because we knew, you know, either mom, your dad, you know, grandparents, brother, whoever. And so, but I mean, it's a great feeling to know that. But at the same time, it's just like, okay, that's pretty cool that you listen to, but scary that you do that at the same time. But it's something I get used to all the time.
Have you gotten to meet celebrities?
Oh, yeah.
Who? Tell us who.
Well,
you're going to get a name drop on somebody.
Yes.
So I've got to meet some and I've got to interview quite a few. When I was at our classic country station in Tallapoosa, WKNG, I got to interview, this was back in 2012 at Milltown Music Hall, Harold Shedd, who he's got a whole space named after him. He got a lot of great country artists given their start. I got to interview Mel Tillis.
Awesome.
I got to interview Doug Stone.
Awesome.
Let's see here. Who else? Teddy Gentry from Alabama.
Awesome.
And
hey, we just bought a bull from Teddy Gentry.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, how about
nice.
That?
Nice. Well,
you and the cows.
Fort Payne, Alabama.
Yeah, well,
Robin Holmes.
And does that have a tumor?
No, it's not. It's not a Brahma bull.
Yeah. And I've even also, of course, Randy Owen, I'm the public address announcer for baseball at Jacksonville State. He's an at-large board member at JSU, so I've seen him. I haven't met him, but I've seen him a few times.
Randy,
yeah, I know.
Come here.
I can see him from like the press box. You can look straight down from the press box down at the baseball stadium at JSU. So done them. I met Barry Switzer, who is a former Dallas Cowboys head coach, Oklahoma Sooners head coach. I met him, interviewed him before. And I've seen Toby Keith, didn't get to meet him that day. They were doing for Harold Shedd and just several others.
Who was the nicest?
Oh, gosh. There have been several. Mel Tillis was as nice as he could be. So was Teddy Gentry. And some of the ones I've done phone interviews with, Daryl Singletary, the late Daryl Singletary. I was probably one of his last interviews that he ever did before he passed. Got to talk with him over the phone. Jimmy Fortune, who sang with the Statler Brothers for many years, got to interview him. He's nice as he could be. So a lot of them are really nice. I think I've only ever had maybe one or two bad interactions with an artist.
You don't have to say.
No, I will. I will say this one. 2015. So it was at Milltown Music Hall. The band Exile came, who they had some biggest hits like "Want to Kiss You All Over" and "Woke Up in Love."
Sing a bar several. Too. I don't know if I.
No, I'm not going to do that. You can get that on Spotify and do that. But anyway, so Exile was coming, and I was asked to fill in for Rhubarb Jones, who was the MC. He had to be somewhere else, so they asked me if I would step in. Introduce Exile. I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. Well, they had Juice Newton. who she was famously known for the song Angel of the Morning. So anyway, I'm going back into the green room backstage and just passing through. And she's just sitting there just looking at her phone. I said, hey, how you doing? And she just gave me the like most disgusted look. Like I just...
How dare you?
Yeah. Like I had asked her the most offensive question.
Like, why is your name Juice?
I was like, well, exactly. Exactly. So I was like, oh, okay. So I walk in, go in the backstage. I'm talking to the guys before who were extremely nice. And introduce them on stage. Well, then show goes on about an hour and a half, 2 hours later. It's all over with. And they say, well, hey, would you walk with them out front? I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. Well, I go backstage. I'm waiting on Exile. Juice Newton comes just running out of the back green room. And she was essentially mocking the crowd when they were singing along with her. When she was, I'm dead serious. And I was like, wow, okay.
All right.
I was like, and honest to God, after I did that, if any of her music came up in rotation,
nope.
I said, I took it out. I literally would take it out. I would not play it. So I was
that's pretty
that,
bad.
I was that disgusted with her.
Oh, we did get some tea in this episode.
So yeah, I have.
Just takes a few minutes.
Yeah, it just takes a little bit. But no, I have met some that were just complete horses' backsides too. So
yeah,
but
that's
was one
true.
Of them.
As long as there are humans on Earth, there's always going to be a lot of great ones
to.
And a few buttholes.
You're always going to, but you know, I've met a lot of nice ones along the way because they know that they're in this industry. A lot of them know
correct.
That, you know, they wouldn't be where they are because of the fans.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're really grateful. They say they want to meet the fans. They want to get out there and, you know, sign autographs, sign their, you know, memorabilia, CDs, t-shirts, you know, whatever.
Bread.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of them that are beyond grateful to want to meet. I've known people that have met Garth Brooks, you know, gone backstage and they said, what you see on stage is exactly the same person you see backstage. The genuine, nice, humble.
I would think that about him. Seems like he's just kind of always the same. I don't know. I've been wanting to watch his new documentary.
Oh, I have too. I haven't had a chance to
watch
yet, but I've seen him in concert twice. I mean,
he's probably puts on one of the best concerts.
He's the best. I hate that we didn't go.
That he plays.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you go to concerts and you know like one or two. And
yeah,
you
that's
yeah.
about
and
it.
You kind of like mumble through the rest
of
them.
Yeah.
But you
he
know
is
all
like,
those.
You know all of his.
Yeah.
It was
so
the best
energetic.
Concert.
Yes. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like childhood memories too. Like his old school songs.
Yeah.
Oh, was so awesome.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. When I went to the 2017 show at Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta, the one where the sound system was messed up and I was on the floor and you could not hear that much better down the floor, even if you were sitting up top. But I'm telling you, when the song started going, people automatically knew they didn't even need the sound system.
Right.
Mm-mm.
They automatically knew it. And especially when he started singing The River, which is my all-time favorite Garth Brooks song. I mean, that song has more meaning to me than probably a lot of other songs that I've ever listened to in my life. But he hushed. Everybody started singing because they knew what song it was. Even some of the newer stuff he was putting out.
Yeah.
People knew what it was.
Yeah.
They started singing along with it.
He's a great artist.
Oh, he's a fantastic artist. So, yeah, that's some in the country music world that that I've met. And, I mean, you got a lot of nice ones, and then you got not so nice ones. So
that's just the way of the world.
It's the way of the world.
True for every industry.
So, I've been blessed to get to do a lot of stuff. I've got to travel to a lot of different places across the Southeast doing this. It's just been a blessing, and it's just been a lot of fun.
Do you sing?
No, I don't.
You sound like you'd have a good singing voice.
Everybody tells me I do when I'm singing in church and stuff like that, but I'm like, no, I don't think, if I sang one solo in church when I was about fifth grade.
That wrapped up your singing career?
I forgot the word. No, there was like two verses to the song, and it was a Christmas play. I forgot the second verse, and so I just...
That's okay.
I just sang the repeated the first one
that's
over
fine.
Again and
that
the
works.
And the director was just like,
I bet nobody even knew really.
No, nobody really even knew. But I told myself, yep, I'm not gonna do that again. And I have not done it since because people are like, yeah, you need to sing a solo. I'm like, I get nervous enough just standing in front of people and them looking at me when I get up and talk. People say you can't be that nervous. You talk on the radio. I said, yeah, but here's the difference.
You don't have to look at
anybody. Nobody's looking at me.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Nobody's looking at me, so.
Who's your favorite, like, DJ that you've worked with or other broadcaster that you've worked with?
Well, I've worked with several that I just have learned a lot from that I grew to love. Mitch Gray, who I've known literally my entire life. Him and my dad grew up together, essentially. And so I've known him, his whole family, my entire life. He was actually the one I was listening to the high school football game when it triggered me and saying, hey, that's what I want to do. So I've got to work for him with him the last 11 years or 14 years, excuse me. And he's in the studio next to me on B92 Country every morning. And so I've learned a lot from him, but more in the sports broadcasting aspect. So I got to learn a lot from him. There's another gentleman that I learned a lot from because he was in, been in the radio business for, gosh, 65 years. His name is Red Jones. He lives right here in Carrollton. He was the morning man at WKNG for 10 or 11 years, way before I even got started, when I was just really getting started out. And he had so much knowledge because he had been working in, he's worked in some of the major markets, most the biggest one in the market today, Atlanta. He worked at the old WQXI AM 790 in Atlanta. And he would tell me all these different stories. And I learned so much from him. Because he would tell me, okay, this is how you do certain things on air, and this is how we did it back in the day, that you can still apply these, I guess, rules or tactics or whatever you want to call it, in today's radio, too. So I learned a lot from him because I learned the storytelling aspect from him when you're getting on the radio and you're talking to your listeners. And he also told me about how he worked for a guy who was an advertising writer, and he went on to go work out in Hollywood, who started the show WKRP in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And if everybody knows the, which I know I'm showing a lot of people's age and I'm just an old soul and I've seen this episode about 1,000 times, the turkey drop episode where they drop the turkeys out of the helicopter, that actually really happened in Texas, not in Atlanta, but the guy took the concept of that and based WKRP in Cincinnati on WQXI in Atlanta. And that's how it all got started. It's a funny show. It's back on in the 70s. Look it up. It's a hilarious show. So learned a lot from him. Learned a lot from Rhubarb Jones. Of course, he and I didn't live that far apart from one another when he left Atlanta and came back out here. And just so many others that I've just grew up listening to. You know, a lot of the guys on what used to be 96 Rock, if you remember 96 Rock, oh, yeah. Z93, Fox 97, the old Star 94, you know, stations like that from back in the day. So just too many to list. But I just essentially grew up listening to a lot of the DJs. And sports broadcasting wise, Mitch Gray was one of them. I can tell you a few of the others I grew up listening to. Wes Durham, when he was at Georgia Tech, he's still the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. Grew up listening to him, and I would have to sneak and listen to Larry Munson because we were all Georgia Tech fans in our household, and so I'd have to sneak off and listen to Larry Munson because I loved listening to Munson. And some of the others I grew up listening to, and then met along the way, Mike Paris at Jacksonville State. We got to work together. I had to fill in for him a few times doing basketball and baseball and softball games. And then, you know, and I just listen to several across the country that I can just learn from, because this is an industry where you, just like in medicine, you can continually have to learn and to grow. And so it's just one of these continually learning business. So that's why I listen to other broadcasters, so I can learn from them and learn how I can better myself and what I need to do to just try to put better content out and be a better broadcaster overall and even a better person.
It's what we should all be doing every day.
Absolutely.
Well, Seth, we couldn't do this without you. We appreciate
it. It's my pleasure. I enjoy doing it, even though if we do get on some topics that kind of
make you uncomfortable,
make my face turn about 40 different shades of red, if that's even possible.
Can you say the word vagina on the radio?
No. Well, I'll take that back. I probably could, but
maybe you won't.
I try to keep it a little bit more family oriented. Because I know you've got mixed company out there that just you know, just don't know. So I probably could, but I'm just like, nah. You know, I tend to shy away from a lot of things that, because I just want it to be fun.
I don't want to say
all that. So
cringy words.
Yeah, and just say all those cringy words and stuff like that. Because some people would be like,
you said what?
You're not supposed to say that. That's Use a different terminology. I'm like, well, I mean, it's what it is.
It is. It's my podcast. I'll say vagina if I want to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
yeah, that's our new tagline for this podcast.
So we'll Photoshop that in. But this has been a whole lot of fun getting to do this because, you know, it's something I kind of just always had a labor of love doing. And this is something, a skill set that I've had for a long time. And I knew when Eric had contacted me about it, and I was like, well, you know, I've got the equipment. Let's just go ahead and get started right now.
Okay.
And do
it's
it.
It's been awesome. You've been a blessing.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, thank y'all, and I appreciate.
I had no idea what direction to even start.
A lot of people just like to kind of overthink stuff a little bit, and of course, I did the same thing, but you know, once you sit down and you really hash it out and think about it, it becomes a lot easier.
Or you collaborate with a friend.
Exactly. You collaborate with a friend. Because I've known a lot of people that are like, well, we want to get a podcast started, but we just, you know, don't know what kind of topics to talk about, what to do. I said, well, talk about what you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, y'all talk about, you know, medicine majority of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and healthcare and all that stuff. You know, I probably talk, you know, a good mixture of music and sports. And even food, because if you've ever seen me out in public, you know I haven't missed a meal in a day or two. I'm trying to, I've lost 40 pounds. I've got about another 30 I want to lose.
It. And you're killing it.
Great.
And it was, because that's another thing too about radio. Once you get into, you really need to be health conscious, because you're either going to be sitting down all the time or you're going to be traveling. And sometimes your only options are going to be fast food.
Yeah.
McDonald's is going to be open late. Waffle House is going to be open late. So if you're traveling late at night and you're really hungry, you're not going to have a healthy place open to go eat. So unless you just pack it yourself and then eat it while you're driving on the road, not a lot of people are going to do that. And so really be, if we got any younger listeners out there thinking about getting into this type of business, just really be health conscious and exercise every day and drink plenty of water and try to limit your junk food intake, because it will add up.
Sure.
I tell you, when I graduated high school, I graduated 209 pounds, and then I ballooned up from 209 to 290 in that amount of time. So it might take a little while, but it can sneak up on you.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't even realize it. So I've had to, just last year when I was just kind of sitting around, I'm thinking like, I'm almost the size of a two-story double-wide trailer, and I need to kind of quit that. So so that's when I was like, I just got to get a lot of things in check, which I still do. I still got some health stuff I need to get in check, but just it's one of these things. You just got to be health conscious and cut out the junk crap and just try to be healthy and exercise at least 3 to 4 times a week if you can. If you can. You're not always going to, but because it's just – this is an industry where you're going to be putting out a lot of long hours, and you're either going to be sitting down, or some days you'll get to move a whole lot, but other days you're sitting down, staying stationary.
Good advice for everybody.
Yeah, it's great advice for anybody. Just always be moving. Cause sometimes in the mornings I have to stand up, or I'm, you know, going to get stiff, and it'll be hard to kind of move around, you know, after a while sitting in a chair. Cause I've done a whole show just sitting down without realizing it.
Yeah.
And I mean, just time has passed by, and I'm thinking like, well, gosh, I haven't even stood up the first chance ever since I walked in the door.
Yeah.
We're going to get you an Apple Watch that buzzes you to stand up every
hour
often.
I have one. It goes off constantly and says, oh, well, it's time to stand.
It's easy to learn to ignore it if you're not
conscious of it. Oh, God, I've ignored this thing. I had to turn the breathing part off of it. It's like, time to...
nuts. You need to breathe. Yes, I know.
I'm thinking like, if I am not...
I'm trying.
If I am not breathing, I think I would be aware of it. So, you know, but yeah, but overall... It's been a fun industry getting into, and I've learned a lot from it. And it's just a time for me to, it's basically like my stage, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, we always say it's the theater of the mind is basically what it is. So we have to create images, have to be very descriptive, especially doing ball games and stuff like that on the radio. Got to be very descriptive. So essentially it's my stage. And you know,
you
and
do
I love it.
A great job with it.
And
I appreciate
it.
We're looking forward to doing lots more fun podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thanks, Seth.
All right. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Until next time, y'all, stay healthy.